Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to Pneumatikoff. I am your host, Dr. Josiah Rich, and the title of this morning's episode is The Vital Spiritual Constant. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus. Those words, at least I should say, the title of the show, this morning's show, is taken from 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Peter is speaking to the community of faith, and as such, he is addressing a very poignant subject, that is, subject of antinomianism and Gnosticism. There are a group of individuals during Peter's time who believe that because salvation was by grace alone, then it gave them a license to sin. And nomos is the Greek word for law, and so with the prefix anti, so we have that which is against law, or in this case, that which is against moral law. And so the antinomians believe themselves to be without a moral code. And so they indulged in the flesh. They were highly licentious. And they were professing believers. The writer to the Hebrews speaks of Jesus as the high priest of our confession. So at this point, I would like to say that there is a distinction between a mere professor and one who confesses Jesus with his life. So therefore, the antinomians were not those whose lives were a confession of the salvation work of Jesus. So, along with that, there was also the threat to the community of Peter's day of the Gnostics. The Gnostics believed that, along with the gospel, that is the salvation message, that believers should also have a special secret knowledge, a knowledge only for certain initiates. So this esoteric knowledge, as such, was joined to the gospel. And when a gospel message is joined with any other type of ism, then the message is therefore compromised. So the Gnostics said that there must be the special knowledge. Paul deals with this in Colossians chapter 2, verses 8 to 23. And so Peter has to address this threat within the community. And his words are that the believing community has its special knowledge, which goes beyond mere gnosis. In fact, Peter uses the term 2 Peter 3:18, we are to grow in grace and then acknowledge the epignosis of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so, not mere information, not mere data, there's to be an experiential knowledge that the believing one has within his cardia, that is his heart, about the person and work of Jesus. And so please understand that the antinomian threat has not disappeared. And please understand that the Gnostic threat is still here with us. These particular philosophical positions never disappear. And one way or another, they find themselves entrenched within the local churches. So, in second chapter of 2 Peter, Peter's concerted attack upon a lifestyle of profit, or the Greek word epithumia, in which he deals with readiness for all types of pleasures related to the flesh. So this is very real. And there's a certain viewpoint that Peter has to fight in order to preserve, as it were, the purity of the gospel message. And so in chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, Peter writes, in verse 1, 2 Peter 2, 1, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresy, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction." So, Peter talks about pseudo-prophetai, that is, false prophets, and he talks about pseudo-didaskaloi, that is, false teachers. And notice, there should be false teachers among you, or within your midst. And so I don't have time to go into the preposition that Paul uses here, but be, of course, has to be a being verb, and so as presented here in the Greek New Testament, it is what we call the future middle, I should say. And the presence of false teachers are a very real threat and a very real danger to spiritual health of the community, because their desire their hidden desire, and sometimes their very obvious desire, is to sway or skew or somehow render irrelevant the message, the evangelism, that is the gospel. And you see to it that believers read books which have some verses in them, but books that do not point the individual in the direction of the Word of God. There are many wonderful books available to read, and which certainly contain wonderful information. But false teachers want to take the community away, that is the believing community, the confessing community. They want to take the confessing community away or lead them away from the person of Christ, away from the necessary orthodoxy or orthodox teaching. The word orthos, from which you get the word orthodoxy, means cutting straight, teaching that cuts straight, teaching that is right. Now, I know that you and I live in a time of radical subjectivism, in which people actually believe that opinion is above information that is relevant, important, and that opinion blame. We live in a time of name calling, and very Isaiah would say upside downness. Read the book of Isaiah, and if you want to see learn how the works of the flesh can turn an entire nation upside down, read Jeremiah. Jeremiah, you will read about spiritual pathology. You'll read about the depths of spiritual pathology. In Ezekiel, one will read about the impact that the spiritual pathology that Jeremiah speaks about had on the presence of the Spirit of God in the temple. We see that in Ezekiel, gradually the Spirit of God left or moved away from the people because they were so entrenched in the works of the flesh. They were so entrenched in religious belief and practices that had nothing to do with Orthodox Yahwism, that God left them to their own devices. That is, God handed them over to what they wanted. In Romans chapter 1, Paul says the same thing. He says that God handed people over who were determined to walk away from him, and who were determined not to worship and serve the Creator who is blessed forever. God handed over to what they wanted. Now, it is very interesting that Amos records for us in his book, which was written between 760 BC and 750 BC, Amos talks about deeds that shape destiny. And most certainly, the antinomians in that Peter, the antinomian teaching that Peter addresses, 2 Peter chapter 2, and the Gnostic threat that Peter addresses. The proponents of these philosophies had no idea and no understanding of this very important reality that these shape destiny. This teaching has been lost. And so we have act. We have, in English, that is, we have the act, result, connection. Peter is addressing the very same situation that Amos faced. In the book of Amos, we have Yahweh's reaction. In the book of Amos, we have a very powerful description of the presence of God and what it meant not only to his people, but to the surrounding nations as well. In chapter 3 of Amos, we have the election of Israel, but there is something that Amos chapter 1 also breaks on, and that is crimes against humanity. And Yahweh sees, and Yahweh addresses crimes against humanity. So Yahweh is Lord of all. As we return, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 reads, "And many shall follow their pernicious way, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be either evil broken up." These words deserve to be read carefully and prayerfully, thoughtfully, and through covetousness. And we define covetousness as the inordinate desire for more and more. It is the inordinate desire for excess. It is insatiability. This is what happens when persons open the door to licentiousness. Licentiousness becomes insatiability. That is, the appetite can never be satisfied. There is always the inordinate and destructive desire for more and more. There are certain parts of the brain that form around desire. There are certain parts of the brain that are turned on with human pornography, and since a growing understanding of the science of neuroplasticity, we know that it becomes very difficult to address this problem, because the brain is shaped around what the heart desires. And so neuroplasticity is not mechanistic. Neuroplasticity tells us that there's a soul, there's a spirit that are involved too. In other words, the soul of a person moves, or the soul of the person has a direct, or that is, when he or she desires, has a direct action with how the brain is shaped, how certain neurons within the brain are formed around certain desires. So read in verse 3, and through covetousness, they shall obey with plain words. Make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Now, so we go in verse 3, move from covetousness, which is the inordinate desire for more and more, to the word feigned. And it is the Greek word plastoi, from which we get our word plastic. But in that time, it meant to mold as for or something molded from clay, or something shaped by clay. It meant words that were specifically forged to create a certain reaction. Words that were specifically formed in order to manipulate, in other words, manipulate individuals. And notice the language. Notice Peter's language. And then shall they with feigned words make merchandise? That is, buy and sell. This is a very powerful statement. These are very powerful words. And it tells us how the false teachers market their deceptive wares. Then Peter says, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation, no judgment slumbereth not. In other words, God is watching what these people have brought, what these people brought into the church, and what they bring into the church today in order to skew or obscure the message of the gospel. Paul talks about healthy doctrine, healthy teaching, and these people are not proponents of healthy teaching. And so it is through healthy teaching or healthy doctrine or health-giving doctrine that we grow, that we grow up, that we remain healthy. Healthy teaching helps us to recognize invasive spiritual pathogens that threaten our spiritual health. And certainly false teaching qualifies as spiritual pathogen, antinomianism or Gnosticism, spiritual pathogen that would come in and render, that is, begin to erode or to take away of the health, take away the homeostasis, and introduce pathogens, spiritual pathogens, into the life of the individual. So, Peter lets us know that God deals with such things. Verse 4, for if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to Tartarus, not Hades, but Tartarus, this special place. Notice, use the word angels. And deliver them into chains of darkness, be reserved, excuse me, unto judgment. And so this word, the reserved, is very important. And I'm not going to go into it this morning, but very, very interesting. And verse 5, and spared not the old world, that is the ancient world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. So bringing in the flood, or in other words, superinduce to inflict judgments upon the ancient world. And we read about that, the antediluvian world, in the book of Genesis. And how God overthrew or dashed down the old world. And in Genesis 1 and 2, we have the creative power, the creative activity of God. And we have the order which he brings about, creation. And then when we get to the Mabul, or what we call the great flood of Noah, then God reverses creation. We have, in other words, de-creation. We have a return to chaos that God stopped in Genesis chapter 1. We have a return to darkness. And please understand that this is, we have this return to chaos introduced again in the book of Exodus, and see God's judgment upon Egypt. Also, Jeremiah used these words, and the earth was formless without void. And he talks about the judgment that was coming upon his people. And in the book of the Revelation, once again, we have the same picture, the judgment that God brought forth on the ancient world, that he brought forth in Egypt. We see that God is going to once again bring in those very same judgments. So it is important to understand that God is very serious who is the health, the spiritual health of his people. God wants his people to grow, to grow up in the understanding of grace, which is, we define grace as God's undeserved or unmerited favor of us. Epinosis is spiritual knowledge, or knowledge of God, or Jesus. We are experience or growing awareness of who he and what he has most wonderfully done for us. Now, beloved, it is important to understand that God wants you spiritually healthy. And it is through his word. It is through studying his word. It is not the application of this word. The psalmist said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart." The word must be hidden within the heart of the individual, within the nefesh. The Hebrew word is nefesh. The Greek word, of course, is cardia. So God wants us to grow. God wants us to mature. God wants us as his beloved to be spiritually. God has made provisions for us so that we can grow in Jesus. And when we grow in Jesus, we will be adept at discerning presence of antinomianism and Gnosticism. In other words, teaching that is not in accord, or teaching that is not aligned with the Word of God. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich. Have a wonderful day. God bless you.